we have some very good testimonies that the brethren here want to share with you. And I thought I'd start with Bob Accardi. He has a testimony that we received a while back, and it's kind of in line with Bob's sister who is here, Rosemary, and she's going to share a testimony, and Bob will introduce you here in just a minute. Okay, Bob.
Good evening, Saints. David had called me up earlier, early this morning, and asked me if I would share this testimony that he remembered that was similar to the testimony that would come from my sister about my mother that we experienced the last 2 or 3 months. And she'll go over that with you to explain what we've been through. We've been under a lot of attack as far as just like Rex, Corey, when he was fell off the roof and broke his wrist and threw out his leg and whatnot. He's just coming around now. We're grateful for that. But anyway, this testimony, I looked it up. I'd almost forgotten some of the facts about it, but I told Dave I'd look it up and be glad to share it tonight. It was it occurred in October of 2000, and I was impressed by the similarity between this testimony and the one that we just went through with my own mother. But in October of 2000, a work associate was talking to me by phone in New Orleans, and as oftentimes we talk, I inquired how Deanna and her family was. The conversation quickly switched to the care of her father, whom was struggling with health and depression, health problems and depression following the death of her long and beloved wife. Earlier that year, her father had suffered a stroke and was battling the effects of diabetes right then. And due to his condition, a clot had developed in his leg, preventing circulation to the foot and toes. And that's just about what my mother went through with us here recently. All attempts by doctors and medication to restore the proper circulation to the lower extremities failed. And Deanna was a Christian herself. However, she wasn't really put much faith in our Lord. And she explained that even though she was somewhat a Christian, that her father was at best considered a Christian that was, you know, up and down. And that recently he was rather downtrodden through the effects of the disease that he was experiencing. Let's see. I spoke the scriptures, and I encouraged her, and I spoke of 1 Peter 2:24, that by the stripes of Jesus that we were healed at the cross and were... and that work was finished back at Calvary. And I told Deanna what a mighty work it would be that God could save that foot and could do the things for her father that would prevent this amputation. So there was another possibility that we did not just have to accept this. And God could restore the blackened foot and toes and could... all he really needed was our faith to go along to give us the promise. And so I pointed this out to her that even Jesus himself was unable to do the mighty works of God because of the unbelief in his own hometown. I mean, that seems hard to believe sometimes, but even Jesus walked into his hometown and all the people knew him and they were jovial and talked, and when they said, well, he's not, you know, anything special. We all know him. He was a carpenter's son. Well, because of that particular issue, they were, you know, Jesus said he was unable to perform any mighty works in his own hometown. So the Lord continually expects us to bring forth the faith in order to receive the promise. Well, that's what, you know, that Deanna and I spoke about. Okay, I spoke the faith of God's word to Deanna and asked her to go to her father and to speak faith to her dad, speak the faith of the scriptures into him, like to breathe them into him. And so, you know, later on, you know, we met you know, the next day in Bible study, and like we do right now, 7:30 on that particular day, 7 to 7:30, we prayed and we agreed with Deanna that you know, that her father going to the hospital, the VA hospital, that he was healed, and that we could picture that in our mind, this this idea of his foot being healed. That Jesus, you know, it says in the Word of God that when you pray as though you have received, not that you wait for the manifestation to believe. You start believing now, and that's the key. That's the key here, and so we just trust God for that. That's why, you know, we're leaving. We're headed up to Tennessee. We're going up there and walking in faith that the Lord is going to take care of each and every one of us. But anyway, God did restore her father's leg. And the healthy parts of the toes and foot would need that were about to be amputated. And what happened is Deanna went in with her father in the morning. The VA gets started really early, and she sat with her dad, and he put on a little gown or whatever, and you know, she was sitting in the reception room with her dad. And they were talking, and they were believing together and praying. And before I even got out of the shower that day, it was like, you know, she was to accompany him into to the VA office. And then it was the next day that, I mean, the miracle happened that day. And then she went back to work, and then she sent me a fax over right away as soon as she came into work. And that fax came in. It was before I even hit the showers that day. I mean, it came in really early. It said, "Bob, what a mighty, mighty God it is we serve. I've just seen before my eyes the color and circulation return back into my father's leg."
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'm sorry. She said that she believed with her father, and it was well received. She said, "I've received prayers answered in my life. However, this is the first time I've ever seen the power of God to be received on her. I mean, the color of my father's feet returned to pink color, and he was healed."
Happened right there in front of their faces, too. Didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And they were confessing the Lord with us, you know, they were confessing the healing with us, and she said that's the first time she'd ever seen a miracle, because right there in front of their faces when they were looking at his black leg there and foot, it just turned pink. Yeah. Praise be to God. I know there's some folks out there, you know, that have had problems with either diabetes or some other form of circulation, you know. And just hold fast your confession. Don't let those folks talk you into the worst, because they usually want to tell you the worst of what's going to happen if you don't do this or don't do that. But I want to tell you, you're not like the world. You have the promises of God. They're yours. And praise be to God, you just hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not. He is faithfully promised. You know what? It was the last minute. It was the last minute as far as these people were concerned. They were ready to chop off the leg, you know. But and sometimes God answers at the last minute, too. So don't get discouraged. Just hold fast the confession of your hope. And don't believe the bad report. You know what the bad report is, right? The things that they see. You know, they want you to listen to reason, right? They want you to, what are some of the terminology that they use sometimes, you know? Let's face the facts, you know. Common sense, all these things, you know. So, no, they don't know anything about the kingdom of God, folks. You and I are the ones that know and understand that Jesus made these awesome promises, that all things whatsoever we pray and ask for, that we are to believe we receive them and we shall have them. So remember that. Don't forget. Don't lose that confession of your hope, that it waver not. Remember, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think not that that man shall receive anything from the Lord, right? So It's not that you can't repent when you do that and go right back to believing. You can. Of course you can. You know, and that's what the Lord desires of us, you know. But remember what you've prayed for. Don't forget what you prayed for. It doesn't matter what you prayed for. He said all things whatsoever, right? Remember what you prayed for and confess your hope. Don't confess what the bad report is. Your hope is what? You know, it. Hope means a firm expectation. You know, you expect God to answer prayers because He's almighty. And you expect it and you confess that before men. You know, Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. Right? And if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father and the holy angels, He said. So be careful. Be careful what you say. You know, that's really part of the miracle. It's not just believing in your mind, but it's confessing with your mouth, as Romans 10 tells us plainly, you know. And we confess unto salvation, the Scripture says. And I think Bob also wants to say a little bit more.
I'm sorry, but this thing was so close to my heart with what we just went through recently with my mother, that my sister Rosemary is here to share with you what we, just like David said, that we stood opposed to what the doctor, you know, the witness of the doctors kept giving us. It was like a pounding, one thing after another. I mean, we went through so many things that we just almost had, you know, given up, but we got the devil on the run.
Amen.
And we won the victory. And my sister Rosemary is here to share that with you, because she was over there in Tallahassee. And though I went over there, I think, you know, 2 weeks, and then, you know, spent some weekends and whatnot, she carried the brunt of the load with tending to my mother while she was in the hospital. And she was in the hospital about 5 or 6 weeks.
That's right, firsthand. Firsthand right there to see the Lord's work. Amen. Yep. I definitely have a similar situation that I was in as Bob was just reading his testimony. It's a long one, but I'll try to make it short and sweet.
No, just take your time.
And
they need to understand, you know, that these trials, it's, take your time.
Right. My mother's situation was something very, very similar. She did not have diabetes, but she had her circulation wasn't very good in her foot. She had a toenail, I guess an ingrown toenail is what happened, that needed to be removed. And as what happens, she went to the doctor. We took her to the doctor, and he removed it. However, it wouldn't heal because of the circulation down her foot. At the time, we didn't know, but we soon found out that that the circulation was not working the way it should. And, of course, he said, well, let's see, wait and see. Gave antibiotics, gave everything to her. My mother wanted to go ahead and go to the doctor, so I did take her. And I think it was after she had come home, about 4 days later, she decided to drop some scissors right on her foot, the same foot. It just did a little tiny spot on top of her foot, but it was enough to wear again because she didn't have the circulation.
Rosemary, can I ask you a question before you get started real good here? Did you realize that the circulation was bad before went to get the toenail taken off?
Absolutely not.
Hmm. You know, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, folks. you go to the doctor, you go, and they find something else beyond what you thought you had when you went in there, you know? And I got to tell you something, folks. I got to tell you something. If you accept everything they tell you when they walk by sight, it is yours. You know. First of all, the Bible says, "Cursed is the man that trusts in man and maketh the flesh his arm." You never know where else it might carry you. It's time to start trusting in God. He's a miracle-working God. He doesn't need any help, and He don't want any help. He just wants our faith. You know. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. So true. And I've had a similar situation with that, too. You find one thing, another, and another, and next thing you know, you're at their mercy.
And you're a total breakdown, huh?
Yeah, my mother almost lost her life twice due to that, and that is you know, after I'd taken her and it wasn't healing. Therefore, of course, they said, well, there's nothing you can do. You got to go see the vascular surgeon. Of course, they put her through all these tests of the pressure cuffs on the legs to see how much circulation she had down the legs. And, of course, oh, this one has this and this one has that. And each leg was not good. And, you know, you got to do something about this because this isn't healing. And, you know, and I tried to breathe faith into her, but her faith just was not there at the time. And she wanted to go ahead and do the surgery, and that is to put a tube in her leg going from the groin area to underneath the knee, behind the knee. And so we went ahead and did that, and it turns out that I went on vacation the day that she went in to the hospital, but my brother Bob came over, as well as my brother Bill came down from up north to take care of her. And she went through it was actually just a procedure. It wasn't really necessarily a surgery. They put you in a light twilight zone, I guess. But it turns out that when I came back, everything was great. And she was doing great to the point where she was up and walking and doing physical therapy and soon to hopefully be released. And I came in and I was talking to her, and that day she says, oh, look, it's great. Next thing you know, she says, I think I'm going to have the other one done too. So as soon as she said that, I would say the next day things started going downhill to the point where her foot started to swell. It wasn't healing. It started to just almost like stop dead in its track and go backwards instead of forward. And it's the confession she had made out of her mouth, I believe, that brought her to this. And that is that these doctors would come in and they'd say, oh, you know, yeah, it looks, it's not doing much. And they didn't want it. After me seeing it, I could see it was swelling and it wasn't getting better. But they just gave her painkillers and all kinds of different medicines to the point where after about 3-4 days of it, she was basically climbing the walls, not understanding where she was at. They said, oh, well, she's got dementia. She just was not clear-headed. She'd go, even her roommate said she would all of a sudden be talking normal. And then she says, it's like she's in a black hole. And she's just all of a sudden not making sense, talking about her, you know, before when she was younger and things that just did not even make a complete sentence. And as what was happening was they were giving her so many pills for pain that she was actually climbing the walls, not understanding what was going on when you take an 86-year-old out of her environment. You've got pain, you've got medicines especially, and they started giving her stuff for anxiety. So then it was even worse to where she got to the point where they had to literally strap her to the bed, because she, you know, I'd come in and she'd look at me and she'd go, and the nurse would leave and she'd go, quick, come on, let's go, let's get out of here. You know, it's just all kinds of things that she would do, and it was just tearing me apart, because, you know, when you've never seen your mother like that before, it's the last thing you want to see. And you could tell that there was just demons in her, in the respect that she was fighting me and fighting them and wanting to leave and constantly trying to climb out of bed. And it was something that I've never seen or experienced before in my life. And these nurses were saying, well, you know, and it seems like at night, if they call it, there's a word for it, where at night it's the worst for them. Oh, there's a name for it. Sundowners, where as soon as the sun goes down, it's almost like at night they start, it all just, the nurses tell me that this is what they call it. They do, yeah, the manifestation of this stuff just really comes out of nowhere. And my mom would say she'd be seeing someone over there in the corner, and she'd be paranoid. So finally, after about 3 days of this, I finally call it, because I tried to get a hold of the doctor to tell him to say, hey, look, something's not right here. This isn't working. I told the nurse not to give her this certain medicine because it's making her do this. She quit it, and the next day another nurse gave it back to her again, and she was right back in the same spot that she was. It just went on and on to the point where I just said, stop all the medicines. Just take her off them all. I don't want it. And still, somehow, I said, I want it off the chart. I do not want her taking these medicines. And for some reason, they still somehow ended up on the, you know, her taking them. So I said, I want to know what exactly she's taking. So it turns out that finally I just called the vascular surgeon. I said, look, you need to come over here now. There's something not right with this because the doctors aren't doing it. It's the weekend, and they're not on very well. They're not there but maybe 3 hours just to check on things, and then they leave, and they figure everything's fine. They can wait till Monday. Well, this is Friday. And she went through the whole weekend just up all night. But anyways, yeah, she definitely did not come with these demons, and all of a sudden she's just filled with them. And, you know, they don't say pharmakia for nothing, what it means. And we know what pharmakia is. It's witchcraft. And I believe that totally after seeing all this. It's just something where I'm sure there's some people who have gone through this with their elderly folks. And it's to the point where this nurse was in the room with, and I was talking to her one day, and she says, you know what? She says, I know exactly what you're talking about. She says, I was in a room, and there was a man, or a woman had called the nurse's station, and she said, there's a man standing over me naked, you know, and turns around, and they said, oh, yeah, okay, because she was about the same age as my mom. So they come down the hall, and out walks this naked man out of her room, and he thinks he's a sailor. He used to be a sailor, and he thinks he's a sailor, and he's going back to his ship, and this is... Yeah, my daughter was there listening to all this. She heard the whole story. But this shows you what this stuff does to you, that they're giving you in these quote, hospitals, or should we say the rehabs, which are, to me, my mom saying, Ma, or she'd say, Rosemary, there's something not right here. They're trying to keep me here. Am I in an institution? Is there something wrong? She's like, just take me home. They're trying to kill me. You know, she's just paranoid. So I'm sure, Bill, you know a little bit about medicines as far as what it does, it can do to you.
Everything.
And so anyways, I finally got the vascular surgeon in, and he looked at it. Yep, sure enough, got to go in. It turns out that the tube they had put in her leg was clogged. And it was clogged to the point where she wasn't getting the circulation down to the foot to restore to get the blood down there to heal it. So I had asked the doctor, I said, well, he said, well, if this was my mom, because of the pain she's in, she was in such pain that her toes were starting to turn black. And he said, if it was my mom, there's no way I'd just go ahead and just take her, just go ahead and amputate below the knee and just get her out of the pain as quickly as I could. And I said, okay. And the next morning, my mom was a little bit to herself, or she was coherent, and so they had, because I had asked them to take her off all this medicine, went in and we asked her, I said, well, what is it would you like to do, Mom? Because, again, it's not my decision, it's still her decision, because she's the one that wanted to go in, so therefore it's still her decision. So I did ask her, and she wanted to go ahead and try and take the blockage out, and I called Bob, and I prayed with him, and We asked that the Lord's will be done here. We didn't know what was going on, or in the very beginning, actually, we did pray that, Lord, this is your will, and I didn't know what was in store, what was happening, or what was the reasoning behind all this, that what the Lord was teaching me. So so the vascular surgeon did come in. They did do the surgery, or not surgery, but the procedure. They cleared the line, but as soon as she got out, you know, they wanted me to stay there overnight, every night, when she was still, they had given her morphine, lots of morphine afterwards, and it turns out that her kidneys started to fail. And at that point, I talked to Bob, and I can't remember, and, you know, he kept saying, you need to stand in faith, you got to believe, and then when her kidneys started to fail and she started to take on water, it turns out that I think 200 was the level at which your kidneys will function, and hers was at 340, something like that, and it was climbing, it was getting higher, and she was taking water into her body, and it wasn't processing, and therefore they wanted to put her on dialysis, and go through all that. And doctor came to me and he said to me, he said, you know, it doesn't look good. You need to get the living will going. You know, he's talking about, do you have a living will? And different things like that. And he's saying, do you know the situation here? She's going to lose her foot or her leg all from underneath her knee. She's got many, many complications. And I said, yes, I understand that. But time before that, I talked to Bob, and he said, you know, because I was telling him that either the Lord's going to restore her, or I asked that the Lord take her, but take her quickly so that she does not have to be in any more pain.
Rosemary, let me ask you a question, okay? I think this is very important. I think about that time, there was some confusion about whose faith the Lord was going to accept here. And it seemed that because your mom was under all these drugs and stuff, she wasn't really holding fast anything of her faith. And you were thinking, well, she's not holding to her faith, therefore she's not receiving this. And then maybe you want to take it from there.
Right, exactly. And what I was going to say is to back up a little bit. Because of her age, you know, we do have authority over our elderly parents, to the respect that because they can't understand, they can't grasp everything, and it's up to us as far as to hold strong and hold our faith.
Whether they have faith or not.
Right, yeah. Because it's our responsibility, because it's kind of like, not a child, but you're basically praying for them and believing for them. So it turns out that I wasn't, you know, this is where I was just coming from, trying to understand, because I knew about the authority and having it for her, the faith for her. But I never really put it into action. I never put it into words and figured it out until finally I was looking at it where, yeah, we may lose her. But then Bob, I talked to her, I said, Rose, you know, we cannot let Satan win. He cannot do this. You know, and I turn, you know, we have to look at it where this is going, the Lord's going to bring her through this. And I just turned around and I repented, because I'm thinking that the Lord's going to take her because of the kidneys and everything. And so it turns out that I turned around and I repented too. And I said, Lord, I am so sorry. And I just went from there. And this doctor saying, you know, the bad report, I turned around and I looked at him and I said, well, she's going to be restored no matter what. And he said, excuse me? And I said, she's going to be fine. The Lord's going to go ahead and restore her. He's going to restore her foot. And he looked at me, and he goes, it's good to be positive, he says. It's good to be positive. But I want you to know that this, and she's got this, and yeah, yeah. And he's going on again, almost like I didn't hear that, you know.
Yeah.
So then it turns out that during this time, yes, that is when I turned the corner. I realized, you know what? I'm not going to let these doctors tell me how the bad report is and how bad it is for her. I need to see beyond that. I need to see, yes, Hebrews 11:1.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is assurance.
The substance of the thing hoped for. The evidence is not seen.
Amen. And
amen.
And I've told my mom that many a times, that she said her foot, it looks bad, it feels bad, but it's not done yet. He has not finished doing the great thing for her, but she couldn't understand that. So I just believed it, and I took it, and I ran. And I said, you know, Lord, you are absolutely right. And I went in there, and I sat with her, and I looked at her, and I said, Mom, of course she could hear me, but her eyes were closed, and I could talk to her. And because she wasn't real coherent, but she understood what I was saying. And I went in there and I said, Mom, you know, one Peter 2:24. I said, Mom, I want you to repeat after me. By his stripes I am healed. By his stripes I am healed. And I said, okay, say it again. By his stripes I am healed. And I said, we must have said this 3, 4, 5 times over and over again. And then as she was saying that, in walked the nurse. It was a male nurse. He comes in and he's checking her vitals or doing whatever he needs to do and checking her basically the vitals and things. And she looks right up at him, opens her eyes, which she hadn't done for a while, looked right at him and said, by his stripes I am healed. You know, and he just looked at her like, okay. And he just did his little thing, and out the door he went. He couldn't get out of there fast enough, you know. But, you know, and then later on, right after that, I said, just repeat after me, Mom. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. And she, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Over and over and over again, we just sat there and said that. And I just said, Mom, you're going to be fine. And she just smiled, and, you know, she just laid right there. And, but then after that, you know, the Lord said, okay, we're not done yet. So I thought, okay. All of a sudden, she the day after all this, her vital signs went they went straight, and, or not the vital, the kidneys, they went level. It did not get worse. It just leveled out for that whole day. The next day, it went down, and her kidneys started coming back to normal, and her kidneys were restored. I'm like, yes, thank you, Jesus, amen, hallelujah. He is so real. That's the first time I'd seen. The reality of it all.
We were getting encouraged about that,
though. Yeah, but that's all I needed to take off with. So then all of a sudden, Laura says, well, wait a minute here. Says, I'm not done yet. So next thing I know, they're coming in there because she was breathing, laboring heavy. They came in and they said, she's got pneumonia. She's got pneumonia on the left lung. And I said, that's all right. That's all right. It's okay. Lord's going to heal it. Lord's going to restore. You know, but... And they're saying, it's getting worse, it's not getting better. And then they put her on the oxygen and everything, and I thought, okay. Turns out that another doctor comes in, and he says to me, well, he gives me the bad report about, do you understand all the things, the problems that she's got? It's not just one thing, it's this, this, and this. And he says, she's going to lose that leg. And I says, no, she's not. He goes, oh, yes, she is. I said, no, 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 you don't understand. Not only am I not going to accept that, but the vascular surgeon even told me that she was not going to lose that leg. And I'm just going to go with that, and I'm going to run. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he goes, don't you see those black toes? And don't you see that big black spot on top of her foot? I said, yeah, so? I said, that's okay. The Lord's going to restore her. And he just shook his head, and he said, okay, you know, and I said, thank you. And I could tell he was a little bit perturbed, but, you know, we have to also understand that that's a job. He's got to tell us the bad, everything that, the worst of the worst. He's got to tell us so that he can say, you know, I told her, and, you know, that's, you know, if people aren't told certain things by doctors, they get real upset. Yeah, and they get sued and things, you know, get ugly. So that's why they're always telling us the bad report. They tell us everything that's wrong. But I just told him that's okay. I said, Lord's going to restore her. He's going to restore that foot. He just shook his head. And he said, okay, well, thank you. And we went our ways. It turns out that, sure enough, the Lord just slowly over the next 3 days just made her breathing better and better. And they said, you know, she's got a little fluid, but not as bad. Next thing you know, she is out of NICU or ICU within, I think it was 5 days or 5 days after she got the pneumonia. She had the pneumonia. Went to the regular hospital room. Oh, yeah, well, she was taken off the oxygen and everything. They took her and put her in a regular hotel or hospital room. Then after that, within 3 days, she had gone back to rehab. So she went back there. She gets in her room. We're getting all situated, get the paperwork done and everything. The next day, and who walks in? This is maybe a week after she'd been in the hospital. I'd seen this doctor. This doctor walks in again. He looks at me, and I look at him. And he shakes my hand, and he goes, oh, I knew you. I said, yeah, I'm the one that you said my mom was going to lose her foot. And I said her foot was going to be restored. And he goes, oh, yeah, I remember now. I remember. And I said, look. And I whipped back the sheets, and I showed him her foot. And it was, of course, it had two big black toes. But I said, look, the Lord's going to restore it still. He's not done yet. It's looking great. And he goes, yeah, it's really looking great. It's great. And then he turns it to her diet. He says to me, now it shows that she's not eating, and if you don't eat, then that can't get better. And And she, you know, she made some kind of a comment.
They're bringing her through.
Yeah, they're going to be the ones to make her better here. It turns out that he turns to my mom and he says, the Lord helps those who help themselves. And I'm like, oh! I looked at my daughter who was there, and I shook my head like this. No way! Don't believe that. You know,
they had their try, didn't they?
I'm sorry.
So they had their try, didn't they?
Yep.
Of helping themselves. Huh?
Exactly. And I turned to my daughter and I looked at her later on. I told her, don't you dare ever believe that. That is not in Scripture.
Scripture says just the opposite. When he says, cursed is the man that trusts in the hand, on the arm of the flesh.
Amen. There you go. Yeah.
It says just the opposite of that.
But this doctor, he pretty much slipped out of there pretty quick, you know, after seeing me. And then my mom, after that, shortly after that, she says, you know, is that really, because her eye, she's got immaculate degeneration in her eyes, and is that black stuff on top of my foot too? That is that what that is? I said, yep, Mom. And you want to see something? And I went over there and I took a piece of the scab and I lifted it up and I peeled it back. It came off. I said, look at that. I said, see that? That's pink, brand new skin. The Lord has restored this totally, and he's not done yet. And see all that? I said, see over here on the side? All this underneath this skin, it's all brand spanking new. And the Lord has restored your foot. But I know, I remember when she first woke up, the first thing she asked me was, do I still have my leg? And I said, yes. And she just started turning and praising God and thanking Jesus.
Amen.
Just honoring him and just thanking him like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, I was just saying that, you know, just mentioned that part of what our prayer was, you know, according to the will of the Lord, we knew that the Lord knew things about my mother because she's getting up that, you know, she's getting pretty old, 86 years old. And we were just, you know, methodically thinking about, you know, that there's certain changes in my mom that only the Lord could bring about to happen. No matter what we think and what we try to do, they would be corrected by the Lord. And so I remember that when she went in the hospital, she was singing all kinds of accolades to the, you know, about the doctors and whatnot. They would, you know, they would fix it, her leg, or yeah, they'll take care of her, and she takes all this medication and whatnot. She was singing the highest accolades about these doctors. And when what happened when she was taking all these medications, she started cussing these doctors. And then when she left out of that hospital, she was singing praises to the Lord. And she had it. So the Lord had effectively taken her around the block and got her thinking straight.
Amen.
Sure.
I remember when Bob was, every time we'd get together, and Bob's my next door neighbor, this is Sonny. Bob and I would talk and we'd pray, and Bob would come to the Bible study, and Bob was really going through a lot, I could tell. You know, everybody could, and we were with him in this. And I remember one thing that the Lord had me share with Bob was that this was not only for his mother, but it was for his sister. And it really brought her faith to a higher level. And then after Rosemary was raised up there, then he took care of your mom, you know. So it's a lot of our trials are not just for us. They're for our loved ones. They're for the ones that we stand with and go through it with. So be encouraged by this.
I have one more or two more.
Sure. At least two. you passed up something, though. You were telling me earlier about that nurse that spoke to you about a boy whose family was believing for him. She had evidently got a testimony before this one that made her think, maybe this is possible here too, you know, because I saw this.
Right. Is what it was is this is one of the ladies that comes around and she asks you how everything is and more or less administration. And, you know, I was talking to her about how the Lord's going to restore my mom and how that I'm not going to accept what these doctors say. And she says, you know, you're not the first one that's done this and had faith and believes on that your mom's going to be healed. She says, as a matter of fact, there was a young boy, maybe 12 or 13, that had a family around him. And this child was very ill to the point, the same thing, exact thing that my mom was, and that is they were giving him all kinds of medicines for pain and all kinds of anything they could think of to give to him to think that they're making him better, and it turns out that the mother did the same thing. The mother turned around and said, get him off all of this medicine, and I want to start from scratch. Got him off the medicine, and she said, the next thing you know, this believing family took him, prayed over him, and they believed in faith that this child was going to be better. And this child went from almost dying to sitting up in bed within 3 days, 2 to 3 days. So, and this lady turns to me and she says, I've been seeing more and more of these things coming about as far as, because more and more of the family, she says, that care, that come around, and they have faith and they believe on it. She says, those are the only ones that I see with the relative or family member walking out of there. And it was so true, because I saw the one other nurse. I spoke with her, and she goes, don't believe those doctors. You know, I've been here 30 years, and I've seen so many different things that people leave here sick as can be, and next thing you know, they're walking out just healthy as can be. And she says, don't believe, because these doctors, they have to tell you all the bad report, but at the same time, she says, you just go with it and just carry that and carry on. And it was just a great strength.
Jesus
too.
Said, be it unto you according to your faith. You know, and that is even true for lost people. You know, you believe in the curse, that's what you get, you know, but you believe in the blessing of Jesus Christ, that he bore this curse, and that's what you get, you know. So. God is so good, folks. We have to give him the faith. The faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not seen. You know, even when you don't see the evidence, you have to give God the faith. If it's the substance, it's what God makes your miracle out of. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you. You see, he puts the responsibility to exercise faith on his people. Once he's made these statements of faith to us, we're now responsible to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and come against our enemies. And you give God the bricks, he'll make the building, and the bricks are your faith. It is the substance of the thing hoped for. And you turn and confess him before men, you know, like Rosemary did in front of those doctors, you know. You think that might be a little embarrassing? Well, I'll tell you what, you'll see the results from it, because that bold faith, that confession before men, is what your high priest is waiting on. You know, Jesus is called the high priest of your confession. And what does your high priest do? Well, he offers an offering before the Father. And what does he offer before the Father? Your confession before men. And confession means, it actually comes from the Greek words homologeo. It means to speak the same as. In other words, you say what the Bible says concerning you, concerning your situation before men. Your high priest will take that offering from you, who by the way, are a priest unto God. You offer sacrifices before God. And one of those sacrifices is your body as a living sacrifice. In other words, you commit your body to serve the Lord. It is your putting your beast on the altar, that old burning, burnt flesh on the altar before the Lord, right? And then this is a sacrifice that you do in committing your flesh to serve God, to speak for him, to come into agreement with him. And when you confess him before men, which means to speak the same as him before men, then he speaks the same as you before the Father and before the angels, who are in turn carry this thing out. They bring it to pass. You know, they hearken unto the voice of the Lord, according to Psalm 103, and they bring it to pass, folks. So you don't forget to fight the good fight of faith, because what you've put in the Lord's hands is really his responsibility. But you're the one that gives him the bricks, right? So thank you, Father. Hallelujah. It's good. It's good. Everything that God does is good. You're going to have to live by this soon, folks. Everything that you've trusted in man is going to fail. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. God is going to be in the process of destroying everything that those in Egypt trust in. And yet your God will not fail you. And you'll get to see these wondrous miracles. And God wants to prove himself to you, you know, just exactly the way he did with the Israelites. He wanted to prove himself to them. He didn't want their moaning and groaning in the wilderness after he'd made all these awesome promises to them, you know. He was enjoying being their Jehovah Jireh, being their Savior in all things, their provider in all things. He wants to do this. Don't forget, you know, I mean, like Kurt was saying about all these things that were on his mind that he needed to take care of, he just put them in the Lord's lap through faith and through his prayers, right? And came into the rest. You know what the rest is, right? The rest is he that hath believed doth enter in to that rest, which is what? Ceasing from your own works and believing God. And you can just cease from your own works, rest in the Lord when you put this in his hands by faith, and trust in him. Praise be to God. It's an exciting life. God is faithful. I, you know, personally have had my situations with diabetes because it came from both sides of my family and me, you know. And, you know, I had a war with glaucoma, had to overcome that, had problems with circulation and weakness, had to overcome that by faith. And I've never taken any drugs for diabetes because these attacks came on me after I became a Christian and began to believe in the God of the Bible. And so, and actually, you know, my kids inherited my blood, so at least one of my sons, Justin, he was attacked by it, and we rebuked it as a spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus, and he threw it up, and hadn't had any more trouble with it since. That was when he was much younger. He's never had any more trouble with it since. And, you know, I've had my battles like with the glaucoma and things like that, you know, I just denied it. I didn't accept it. I never did anything about glaucoma, never did anything physical about it, never asked anybody's opinion about it. I suspected of what it was because of what other people told me were the symptoms of it. You know, I suspected that's what it was. But I didn't ask anybody's opinion but God's concerning it. And therefore, I didn't really have the battle that a lot of people have with it. You know, if you go and ask for the bad report from people who walk by sight, they will give you the bad report, and they may give you a bunch more after that, and you'll have to battle with all those bad reports. But I really didn't have a lot of bad reports other than the fact that what I was seeing with my own eyes, I had to battle with that. But I went through about 3 pretty good bouts with that. It came, and I rebuked it, and I stood in faith, and it left and came, and, you know, and it was just one of those things the Lord wanted me to go through. He wanted to harden me to unbelief. He wanted to harden me to walking by sight, so to speak, you know. And when I saw it in my son Justin, he was just as pale as a sheet. He was faint. He was pale. And the Lord said, "That's diabetes." I says, "Okay. Come out in the name of Jesus." That was that simple, you know. And he threw it up, and that was the end of it. Praise be to God. And some of you out there, you're tempted to go and find out what's wrong with you. And I guarantee you, you don't have the foggiest idea what's wrong with you. They'll tell you all kinds of stuff, you know. And when you believe it, it's yours. You know, it's yours. Because you're accepting the bad report of looking at those giants in the promised land, you know. The bad report. And you know those guys that brought the bad report? They died in the wilderness, and the people that believed them died in the wilderness. You know, so, hey, just start out believing the good report. You can't imagine how much you're going to get out of. Yeah, we did inherit this body from our parents, and yet we inherited the blood of Jesus, you know, which is a totally different genealogy, you know. We inherited that blood of Jesus from our new spiritual father, you know, having been born again from above. And I guarantee you, we didn't have any such inheritance through his blood that we received through our parents' blood. We inherited the curse, but Jesus bore the curse. And so praise be to God. Just remember that, and you'll have lots and lots of miracles, folks. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Better give Sonny a mic there. He's over there talking and nobody hears him.
That
were in the land. They were represent the giants that were in us, and they put them in a cave.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yes.
And the first thing they did when they rolled a stone, put a stone over that cave, and then when they rolled a stone out, they let them out. The first thing they did was put their foot on their throat.
So they wouldn't talk.
So they wouldn't talk, yeah. So they wouldn't give them that bad report and argue with you.
Yeah, you see, the promised land is this land that we live in, folks. God's promised us to run this land. The old carnal man of the flesh doesn't have authority over this land anymore. And the five kings represents the senses, because that's what we have to overcome in order to conquer this land. They rule this old man. The senses rule this old man. And, of course, when Joshua and the children of Israel went into the promised land, they had to face these five kings. And they put them in a cave and put rocks over the mouth. And the cave of the promised land is your mouth, you know. These kings were not permitted to come out of that cave. They put rocks, which represents the word of God, over the mouth of that cave, and they held those kings captive while they went after their armies and conquered them. You know what? You don't let the old man talk. You don't let your senses rule. You'll be able to conquer that old man. You'll be able to put to death that old carnal man that rules that old land, you see. The Canaanite represents your flesh, the old man. So when they came back after conquering their armies, they pulled those five kings out, and they, like Sonny said, threw them on the ground and put their foot on their neck so they couldn't talk, you know. And then they hung them on a tree, right? The cross, right? You know, that old man was crucified. Your old carnal senses were crucified. Hebrews chapter 5 tells us that we're to have our senses washed with the water of the Word of God. You know, we need new senses. We need to be able to see the way God sees and hear the way God hears and so on and so forth. Speak the way God speaks. And if we'll do that, we will walk in the Spirit. You can't walk in the Spirit while you talk in the flesh. You know, you can only walk in the Spirit while your senses are exercised to discern good from evil, exercised by the Word of God. And the Lord likened it to me like when David was going to kill Goliath. He was one of the giants in the land, right? And what did David do? He stopped by that brook, and he took out five smooth stones. Folks, that's your senses, washed with the Word of God. And it only needed one of them. He needed that tongue, you know. He only needed one of them, you know. He needed that tongue. And he told that Goliath ahead of time what he was going to do to him, you know. And he said, I'm going to take your head off of you, and I'm going to feed you to the birds, you know. That little guy, the little guy with the big tongue, you know, he confessed ahead of time what he was going to have. And God did it. I mean, that stone found its way right to Goliath's forehead, and he was out of there, you know. And he went over there and took off his head. And you know what? That's what we got to have. We got to take off the giant's head. You know, that thinking from the old man who lives in the land, you know, that'll ruin us, you know. That thinking is always connected to those five senses. The five senses are out to ruin you. If you don't get your senses renewed, I mean your heavenly senses, born again from above, because you've put the Word of God in your heart and you're beginning to talk and think and speak and hear like God gives us and discern. You know, your sense of smell is a discernment that is neither seeing nor hearing. You realize that? You don't. It's something, it gives you a discernment that you neither see nor hear. And so we just have a discernment from God because of the Word of God. We begin to discern things the way He says, and we begin to believe what He says. And so, you know, look up and fight the good fight of the faith. Keep your eyes on the King. Keep your eyes on the one who was crucified for you, the serpent on the pole in the wilderness that delivered Israel from the snake bite. You know who the snake bite is, right? The old devil. He comes to take advantage of your unbelief. You know, they were murmuring in the wilderness, and the serpents came to bite them because they were murmuring and speaking against God. Instead of believing the promises, they were speaking against God. And so these snake bites were biting them. I mean, that represents the curse, folks. The curse is devouring God's people because they won't believe what God said in His Word. They won't take their senses and exercise them with the Word of God and polish them smooth with the Word of God, you know, like those stones in the brook, you know. And it only took one for David to take out Goliath. Praise be to God, you know, and begin to say what God says. Don't listen to these naysayers. Don't listen to these people who walk by sight. Listen to what God says. He's our Savior in all things. Rosemary?
When my mom got to the point where they said, okay, well, it looks like she won't lose her leg from the knee down, that she's going to lose those toes. She'll see those toes, how black they are. And I said, nope. The Lord's restored her this far. He's going to go all the way. And this one doctor, after convincing him that he says, well, if she doesn't lose a leg, then she's going to lose those toes. And I just said, no, she's not. And to this day, right now, she does have a little bit of discolor on her toe, but you can see, once again, that skin under there is just pure as can be.
They don't like giving up, do they? The devil don't like giving up.
Amen.
If he can't take a foot, he'll take an inch, but he don't want to give up.
He didn't get those toes either.
And you got to be just as stubborn as he is, folks. You just got to be stubborn. You got to say, oh, no, that ain't what the Bible says. I don't accept that, you know. Praise be to God. He is so faithful. Hallelujah. Hold fast the Word. Read the Word. Put it in your heart. It will save your life. It'll save you from these people that have good intentions, but they're just naturally minded, you know. We're not condemning people who walk by sight. We are just pointing out that God's given us something a whole lot better, folks. The world may have to put up with that, and they, you know, truly, if God had not stepped in through the Word of God here, then Bob and Rosemary's mom would not be here today, you know, with all the things that had gone wrong with her. But they were confessing it. They were bringing it forward. And as fast as they came, well, Rosemary and Bob were knocking it down. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. God is so faithful.